What a great day to come to church, especially since we're looking at the fourth commandment that says, remember the Sabbath. Yeah. We're continuing on in this series, and I'm calling it Voting Values because I really believe in our day and age and in our time in our country that when we're getting ready to vote, that we need to do it based on biblical values. And that needs to be our basis. And so we're actually looking at God's Ten Commandments. And we started a few weeks ago, and today we're at number four. And basically says to remember the Sabbath. And so we're going to talk about that. What does that mean? I put kind of as a subnote in your outlines the title, God's Word to Workaholics. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I know that there's no workaholics here. Okay. My wife's here. Okay. So I guess I have to be honest with you. How many of you look at your calendar and your schedule and your task list and you just get tired just thinking about it when you look at your calendar and everything that you have on there? Have you ever found yourself as fatigued on Monday morning as you were on Friday afternoon? Yeah, a few of you have. Do you ever bring home work in a briefcase or on your laptop? Or maybe you're like Connie and you work at home and it's hard to leave it and walk out of the office. Do you ever feel guilty when you just relax? You know, some people do. Today we're going to look at God's solution to fatigue and how it relates to his commandment to remember the Sabbath. Would you agree that workaholism hurts us and our families? You can do this if you agree. It does. And the fourth commandment that we're looking at today, it talks about taking a day off. It's interesting to me that God has more to say about taking a day off than he does about either murder or adultery. In fact, it's interesting that it's before that on the Ten Commandments. I talked early on about how I don't think it's an accident in what place these commandments are placed. It's also the longest. This is the longest of the Ten Commandments. It's as if God knew that more people would struggle with this one, so he spends more time and detail defining it. And he's saying, I want you to take this serious. This isn't the 10 suggestions. It's not a suggestion. Lean forward on this and listen to the details. God says, I'm commanding you to take a day off every week. In Exodus 20, verse 8 and 9, it says, observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to me. On that day, no one is to work. It's pretty clear. No one is to work. So this morning, I'd like to look at why God says to have a day of rest and how and what we should do on that day. God says that, number one, he says the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath, I think, is an antidote to burnout. What is he talking about here? What does the word Sabbath mean? The Sabbath means day of rest. Day of rest. God says every seventh day you are to take a day of rest. Now, why do you think he says that? In Mark 2:27, Jesus said the Sabbath was made to benefit man and not man to benefit the Sabbath. God says, I'm doing this for your benefit. The purpose is to prevent burnout. Every 7 days, you need to get physically, emotionally, and spiritually recharged because your batteries run down every few days. I know, being old, mine run down faster. So he says, I'm doing this for your benefit. It's the antidote to burnout. It's the prevention against stress, the stress-filled world that we live in. So he says, every 7 days, I want you to do this. Now, when is it? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Is it Friday? I don't think it matters. The answer is, yes. It's once a week. God doesn't care when you do it as long as you do it once a week. There's three religions. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking to Naomi about honoring her parents. You know, there's three religions: Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. The Muslims celebrate the Sabbath on Friday. The Jews celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. And the Christians celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday. But not one place in the Bible does God command you to worship on Sunday. Then why are we here today? In the New Testament, the first Christians took the Jewish Sabbath and began to celebrate it on Sunday in honor of Jesus' resurrection. In the book of Revelation, John calls Sunday the Lord's Day. So it became the custom of Christians because Jesus rose on a Sunday to celebrate the day off, the Sabbath day on Sunday. But if you want to be clear about it, look in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. It says, as a Christian, you're no longer the Sabbath on. Paul says in Romans 14, verses 5 and 6, he says, every day alike belongs to God. On questions of this kind, one must decide for himself. If you have special days for worshiping the Lord, you are trying to honor him. He says all days are God's days. God wants you to pick one specific day. God says pick one specific day a week to use for rest and recreation and restoration and worship. Recharge yourself physically and emotionally and spiritually. God wants you to do it. So the next question is, how do we do it? What should I do? What should we do on our Sabbath? Or, you know, if we look at that commandment, how do I keep it holy? Do you think having a regular day off would do some good for your family? Yeah. Or for you? God says keep it holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means set apart. It means different. God says, I want you to set one day a week apart to do something different that you do than what you do the other 6 days a week. On the seventh day, you're to have a change of pace. That's what it means. Unique, reserved, set apart, special. How do I keep the day holy? By using it the way God intended. How do I do that? God wants you to use the Sabbath, your day, at least once a week to rest, recharge, and refocus. God says, use the day to rest my body. In Psalm 127:2, we read, God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. God says, I want you to be rested. Your body needs rest. This is so important that God used himself as an example. When he created the world, it says he took 6 days to create the world, and on the seventh, he rested. Do you think that God was tired? I don't think God gets tired. He used it as an example. So why did God rest on the seventh day? He was modeling something for us to practice. God says this is an important principle of life. Every 7 days, you take a day off. Now I like this because now I have a biblical basis for my Sunday afternoon nap. Okay. And you guys can claim that too. It's interesting to me that there are now more work-saving devices than ever before, yet people are working harder and longer than ever before. There's more stress, there's more pressure, and there's more burnout. Now, I heard someone say once, if you're burning the candle at both ends, you may not be as bright as you think you are. You need to take a day off and rest. You can be consumed by your career. There's a lot of tempting things that pull you towards your work. More money, more recognition, more promotion, more sense of fulfillment, achievement and accomplishment. All the powerful forces that say, come on, work more. You can just work more. You can become addicted to your work. But our bodies were not built for nonstop work. Here's a great verse. I love this verse in Ecclesiastes 10:15. It says, only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work. That's in the Bible. Whatever you do for a living, you need to stop it for once, one day a week. Don't bring home your laptop. You know, we think we get more done by driving ourselves harder, but actually what we do is we put a kink in the system that throws us out of kilter. Efficiency experts now say that they've discovered that reasonably spaced rest periods increase productivity more than the person who works continually and constantly. The first principle, the first thing you do, you rest your body on the Sabbath. You know, Psalm 23, we know this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Has God ever had to make you lie down because you wouldn't do it on your own? You know, I've discovered that workaholics who never take a day off never observe this fourth commandment. They end up observing it for 2 weeks in bed or worse yet in the hospital. You say, when I relax, I feel guilty. You don't need to feel guilty. Jesus relaxed, and he never felt guilty about it. He took a day off every week. Nobody accomplished more than Jesus did in the 3.5 years in his public ministry. Even God took a day off after creation. So who are you? An unwillingness to take a day off is basically saying, I've so much work to do. I'm so important. I'm holding up the world. Diane and I just spent Thursday and Friday and yesterday morning at a Converge. Converge is an association of churches that believe doctrinally what we do. And then they have a Vision Arizona, which is for church planners. And it's an association that we've belonged to, Diane and I, for a while. They helped us and help us in church planning, coaching, and they do something that I've never seen any other. Of course, I've never really been a part of any other. I've been a part of a couple other associations. But once a year in October, for pastor appreciation, they invite senior pastors and their wives to what they call refresh. And it is rough. They put us up in this 5-star resort in Indian Wells. And this year we were right next to a huge music concert. The Who was there. Anybody remember The Who? Oh, you guys are old. If you remember The Who. But I didn't hear The Who. But anyway, they put us up. And a lot of, you know, pastors and wives conferences, you've got meetings that you go to, you know, throughout the day, and then you have a evening dinner and stuff like that. And so the first time we went to this, I'm like looking at the schedule, I'm like, hey, we don't have anything to do. They want you to just relax. They want you to get refreshed. They understand that a pastor's life sometimes can be rather busy. And so if we look refreshed, it's because we got to spend a couple days. Of course, then we had to drive traffic coming back from California. But it was just a wonderful time, a wonderful time. And a lot of times they'll have on Thursday night they have a dinner and you get together and you see your friends and stuff and have a speaker and then also on Friday night. Well, this year they said, no, we want the pastors and wives to have a date night. And we're like, okay, Taco Bell, yeah. And so we get there and they give us a card. We open up the card and it's a thank you from the executive minister of the Association for the Southwest. And there's a $100 bill in it. And we're like, we've never spent $100 on a meal, you know. And I thought, you know, we could get on the dollar menu at Taco Bell. And I could get enough burritos to last like 3 or 4 weeks. But we went out with another pastor and his wife. So it was good. It was a neat thing. It was very thoughtful. Just to have a time, not with a lot of meetings, but just, so we just kind of sat around a pool and went on walks and Diane beat me at ping pong. But just a good time of refreshment. Do you know what God is saying to you this morning? You might want to write this down. You can resign as general manager of the universe. God's saying, that's my job. It's not going to fall apart if you take a day off. God says, that's my job. Have you ever noticed your children when they are young? They don't like to go to bed on time. They kind of argue and complain, and they think of ways to get up for another drink of water. They don't want to go to bed because they're immature. But any wise parent knows if you don't get your proper sleep, you're going to be worthless the next day. So you force them to go to bed. When we refuse to rest one day a week, it's showing immaturity. Sometimes God has to make you lie down in green pastures. You say, oh, I've got all this stuff I've got to get done. God says, I don't care about your deadlines. Every seventh day, you don't work. When you don't observe this command, you become fatigued. In three ways. Not just physically tired. You get emotionally tired. There's different types of fatigue. You know, there's physical fatigue when your muscles get tired. There's spiritual fatigue when your emotions get tired. Spiritual fatigue is a far greater problem in our society today because most people don't do manual labor. You do things that drain your emotions. You can take the whole weekend off and sleep the whole weekend and still go back to work on Monday and still be emotionally drained. Even if you slept away the whole weekend. Why? Because rest is not enough. Rest will take care of physical fatigue, but it will not take care of emotional fatigue. And that's why God says you do two other things on the Sabbath rather than just rest. The second thing is God wants me to recharge my emotions. To recharge my emotions. So you use the day to recharge your emotions because work's stress drains you. Americans are always in a hurry and we need regular doses of inspiration and encouragement. You know, years ago in the French Revolution, they were trying to throw out all the old laws. And one of the old laws was that on Sunday you took the day off. And they said every day now will now be a work day. And one of the laws they made, in the French Revolution. Within months they had to rescind that law to establish again one day off a week. The health of the French people collapsed. It didn't work. So how do you do it? How do you recharge your emotions? Here's three things that are universal that you need to build into every Sunday or whatever day you choose to rest. First, include time for quietness. Psalm 23:3 says, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Quietness and soul restoration go together. We are in a world of noise pollution. It's really hard to find a place where you can be totally quiet. Yet the Bible says, in quietness and confidence will be your strength. The Bible, it says, be still and know that I am God. You need to schedule quiet periods in your life. And God says part of your Sabbath needs to be a quiet time. Get alone with God and you get quiet. Many people use the whole weekend to relax and recreation. Relax and recreate. But they never have any quiet. And they don't know why they're still stressed out when they go back to work on Monday. It's like the guys who go up to the mountains for the weekend. Have you seen them coming back down I-17 on Sunday night? Bumper to bumper, traffic in their RVs, you know, pulling their toys. Do they look rested? Not a chance. You know, they're stressed out. They're grabbing the wheel. They're honking the horn. Why? Because they've been going 90 miles an hour all weekend, and now they're having to wait. You know, we're always in a hurry. We don't like to wait. That's why you hate red lights. Have you ever wondered how many hours you'll set waiting at red lights in your entire life? Yeah. I was thinking about this in my weird sense of humor. And then I thought, I waited all these hours for red lights in my life, and then one day I'm going to die, and they're going to put me in a funeral procession, and I get to run every red light to the cemetery. You spend your entire life waiting on red lights. Once you die, you get to go through them all. It doesn't make sense. When you're dead, you don't have to be on time, you know? Here's Jesus' response to life's busyness. Mark 6:31. There were so many people coming and going, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go off by ourselves where we will be alone and you can rest for a while. He says there's so much going on in your life, you need to get alone. Get by yourself. You need a time of quietness. I know yesterday on the way back from California, we swung through Yuma because my truck has been parked there. And I missed my truck. So we pull it out. And so I'm driving and Diane's following me. And we stopped in Gila Bend to stretch a little bit. And she says, what are you doing? I says, nothing. She goes, what do you mean nothing? I'm just driving and thinking. Well, what are you thinking about? Nothing. Or are you thinking about life? I don't know. It was just quiet. Sometimes when I'm driving my truck by myself, I enjoy that. I can just kind of be quiet. I said, I'm praying. She says, good. What are you praying about? Have you ever felt like you needed to stop and rest so your soul can catch up to your body? You do that in periods of quietness. Here's the second thing. Include time for family. In American history, Sunday has historically been a day for two things, church and family. I think that's a good idea. God wants you to plan some special time with your family, to do things with them that draw your family together. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Do you want to live a long time? You need to schedule some chillaxing time where you just kind of chill out. Have some fun with your family. You chill out and relax. It's not a waste of time because God says to do it. Proverbs 17:22 says, being cheerful keeps you healthy. It's a slow death to be gloomy all the time. You ever seen somebody die in that death? They're always gloomy. You know, one of the reasons we don't have Sunday night church services like a lot of churches do is so that you can work on this chillaxing time with your family. Rather than you coming back to hear me give another Bible study on Sunday night, I'd rather you stay home with your family and work on that. You know, most of the parents in our area, both the husband and wife, they have to work. They're working all week, and a lot of single parents have to get up the next morning. You need some time with your families. So men, go home and talk to your wife and play with your kids. Or play with your wife and talk to your kids. Here's the third thing to do on your Sabbath day or day of rest. Include time for fellowship. Include time for fellowship. You need time with other believers. We draw strength from being together. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. Every third Sunday at Echo Mountain Church, we have Fellowship Sunday. It's not just because I like food. It's a time when we grow closer as a family at Echo Mountain. It is the one thing that we can do at our church that large churches can't do. We can have that time of fellowship. And so, you know, we can sit with and get to know different people, and when we have Fellowship Sundays, you don't just come to church, sing, listen to a message, and run out the door. You know, when we get together, we encourage each other. And that's why David says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, I look forward to it. Why? There's a rejuvenation that comes by getting together with other believers. It's tough being a believer out there in the world. We need each other to encourage and to uplift each other and inspire each other and challenge each other. I got a surprise today. Neela came walking back into my office. I haven't seen Neela for a while, other than posting scripture on Facebook and encouraging things. It was, you know, we're family. We're family. So even though she's been gone for, I don't know how many years, 20, when she walks in, it feels like family. You know, I've had times when somebody will come to me and say, I wasn't going to come today. I was so tired, I didn't feel good, or I had so much work to catch up on, and I thought, I just don't have time to go to church. But I decided to go anyway, and I'm sure glad I did. Have any of you ever felt that way? You don't feel like going to church. You just want to sleep in, but when you come, you get rejuvenated, recharged, rebuilt by being around other people. In the New Testament, it says that the New Testament Christians ate their meals together. Christians ate with other Christians. Growing up as a child, my parents almost always invited someone over to dinner after church. And that's kind of a lost art in our society today. I think that is one of the things that's missing, the fellowship, the interaction, the relationships. Today, though, we might get together with somebody else after church and go to a Pollo Loco or somewhere like that. That is emotionally recharging. The Bible says he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So that is how we are to recharge our emotions. We rest our bodies, recharge our emotions, and then the third thing is use the Sabbath to refocus my spirit. Tune in to God. This is the most important part of the Sabbath. Psalm 95:6 says, come, let us bow down and worship before the Lord our Maker. Make a good song, right, Connie? It is a good song. Sunday is preeminently a day to worship, to get a focus on God, a time to remember what's important, a time, you who are pilots, I don't know if there's any pilots in here, but you know that on an airplane there's a gyro compass, and it's very important to keep the plane balanced. Pilots know that the thing has to be constantly recalibrated or it gets off. So you have to recorrect it. The body and your life has to be recalibrated every 7 days. You need to be focused again, and that's what worship does. It helps. It helps bring into focus what's really important. The tragedy is that many people take the day off. They use it to take care of their physical needs, and they rest, and their emotional needs, and they have recreation and relationships. But they ignore the most important need. Your spirit is empty. It needs to be refilled with God's presence and power and love and awareness that he's with you all the time. America has turned Sunday into fun day. You know, we've taken a holy day and turned it into a holiday. It's Miller time. And most people don't worship God's son on Sunday. They worship the sun on Sunday. The problem is, if all you ever do is work and play, then work and play, pretty soon you start thinking that that's all there is to life. Work and play. And friends, there's a lot more to life than just work and play. Mark 8:36 says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" God wants us to ask that question every 7 days. What am I exchanging my life for? What did I give the last 6 days, the last 7 days, 168 hours of my life for? He wants you to stop and kind of re-examine your priorities. Reevaluate, regroup, relax. Tune into God. Listen. Listen to Him. Get your perspective right. Get your priorities rebalanced and refocused on God. Friends, we need that every 7 days. I'm saying this as a third thing in the message. Refocus my spirit and worship. But it is really the first thing that you ought to do on your day off before you do the others. It is by far the most important. Fathers, if you want a practical way of being the spiritual leader in your home, it's real simple. Your faithfulness at worship is a good example that you can model to your kids. You go on vacation, and it's like, of course, we're going to go to church, even when we're on vacation. We don't take a vacation from God. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, you have your own church service. The Bible says every 7 days you worship. So we'll go to find some local church and go worship. You know, this is very important. It's an important family value, so you need to understand you don't teach values to your kids, you model them. Values are more caught than taught. They catch them, your children catch them automatically. Every time you say, "We're not going to go to church this weekend, let's just go up to the cabin. We're kind of tired today, we've got some extra work, so we're not going to go today." You are modeling inconsistency to your family. God says every 7 days you rest, you recharge, and you refocus. Is your work or your worship the most important thing in your life? I took this out of my truck this morning. You guys see that? It's a long ways away. I know I wouldn't be able to see it from the front row. It says, "Dodge Ram Truck Cummins Turbo Diesel Owner's Manual." I took this out of my truck this morning, and if you look through this, it tells you everything about how to operate that truck, things that I've never done. And in the back, there's a schedule. And it's a schedule of, and it's got places where you can put dates, but it's a schedule of when to do maintenance on the truck. If you want to keep the truck in good working order, then you do the maintenance at those scheduled times, whether it's changing oil or whatever it is. That's important if you want your car or your truck to last a long time. The owner's manual for your life is this one, the Bible. And this, God says, the maintenance schedule for living is every seventh day you slow down. You stop. You regroup. You spend time in worship and in things that recharge you emotionally and in physical rest. And when you do that, you will be far more successful. And you will last far longer than any other way. The lifestyle that Jesus offers, it's not a difficult lifestyle. It's the most logical lifestyle for you. When you think about it, He says, He knows exactly how you are made. He's God, and He says, "I came that you might have life." When you do it God's way, you benefit physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In every way, when you don't follow God's principles, and you don't have Christ as the center of your life, as the manager calling the shots, one of the clearest signs of that is that your priorities are out of order, is that you're chronically fatigued. I'm not talking about a physical ailment, but an emotionally, physically fatigued all the time. You're out of balance. What do I do when I'm that way? It's easy. You come to Jesus. You come to Jesus Christ. You ask him to help you. Say, take off all these parts of my life that are loading me down and help me to sort out what's really important. Become the manager of my life. Jesus said, I will give you rest. Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, if you're carrying a heavy burden today, you're carrying one that I don't want you to carry. You're trying to be God. Let God be God and you be you. Life will be a whole lot easier. I want to challenge you this morning to start taking this commandment seriously. According to God, it's not an option. If you think, well, I don't have time this week for church and recreation and for a day off, you're going to pay for it eventually. Do this for your own benefit. The Sabbath was made for man. Exodus 28:9 says, observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest, dedicated to me. On that day, no one is to work. So maybe you're wondering, what kind of voting values can we get from that? I think it's interesting, this commandment ties so much into the first commandment. Going back to the first commandment, that God is to be first in our life. Do the candidates put God first in their work by attending a worship service? By spending time with their families? We're going to talk about that next week as we go to the sixth commandment, honor your parents. Do their children support them and have a relationship with them? These things are hard to know because we don't know them personally. But they are good values to hold on to when we're thinking about candidates. They're good values to hold on to. And they're good values for us to practice in our own lives. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for being an example of this commandment in our lives. You're God. You never get tired, yet you rested on the seventh day. Lord, help us to take this seriously in our lives. It is so easy, especially with everything going on in our lives. It's so easy to work 7 days a week. It's so easy to do what we want to do on our day off. And so often we forget that we need to refocus. We need to refocus spiritually. We forget how important that is to be an example to our children and to others. Lord, I thank you for each person here this morning who is an example of this. They thought it important enough for them personally and for their families to show up today to worship you. Lord, we realize that it's all about you. Help us to stop trying to control our own lives. Help us to take a day of rest and refocus and refreshment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.